Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. I'm your host, Ellen Hartwell. I appreciate the listen. As most of you know, I have plenty to say. And usually before we actually start our show, I have even more to say. It's just going to be brief, ladies and gentlemen. COVID-19's variants are on the rise. Wash your hands, wear a mask, use your common sense. Please don't get sick, and don't get me sick, okay? Wasn't that short? Pretty good, huh? Without further ado, I love that. I have the pleasure and the honor of introducing you to my dear friend, my co-host, my mentor, John Warren. How are you today?
Oh, I'm really good, Ellen. I love that you said, don't get me sick, don't get yourself sick. Don't get sick, don't get me sick. And yeah, there's a big spike where I am in Southern California of COVID cases. And so take care of yourself. Take care of yourself.
Yes.
You know, if you've been vaccinated, you're probably not going to die, but it's still like you can spread it to people with underlying conditions inadvertently, all sorts of things. So, yeah, let's take care of each other.
Yeah, or old people like me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're right.
That old. Take care of each
other. You're supposed to argue that. You're not old, Ellen. Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, I did.
Anyway.
I said you're not that old.
Well, I'm not
you're old,
that
old, but not that old. I'm old, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty old, John. But nonetheless, that's not what we're here to discuss. Nobody cares about how old I am. However, we are going into a new series, John, called The Beatitudes. Now,
yay.
I know people who groan like, oh, please, I don't want to hear that Jesus pablum. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's not pablum. This is hardcore. Hardcore metaphysics, because I don't care what you believe. I'm just taking it from the Bible because that's the book I understand most when it comes to these things. I like things simple. So whatever your faith is or your non-faith, maybe you're an atheist. I kind of doubt it if you're listening to this, but if you are or whatever you are, the Beatitudes are powerful manifesting tools if you look at them from a slightly different perspective, even if you don't, for that matter, but that's my personal opinion. But metaphysically, we're going to break this down. We're going to unpack it. And the Beatitudes, every one of them starts with blessed and then fill in the blank. In Aramaic, blessed is tuwehan. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that right. And in the Hebrew, it's baruch or barak. And it doesn't mean like, oh, God bless you. It means be happy, be blissful, be ecstatic. It means like a super blessing, an uber blessing, like, oh, my gosh, please be happy. Please be joyful. Be blessed, John. Be happy, be joyful, be ecstatic. That's what that means. And I didn't know that. I had to do some research, but I did the research, and that's what it means. So, be happy. The first one is blessed are the poor. No, thank you. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, got the bumper sticker, but no thank you. And thanks to Science of Mind, Law of Attraction, I'm not broke anymore. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Universe. So, blessed are the poor. Why would the poor be jumping for joy and ecstatic and happy? Well, when I came into the Law of Attraction, Science of Mind, I was poor, ladies and gentlemen, not only in my wallet, but kind of down on my face, kind of down. My faith quotient was on the low side, and I'm not going to go into it because it doesn't matter, but I've gone through some challenging times, yes, and I was not dancing for joy, and I was not ecstatic. I was poor. And thanks to a friend and John, back at that time, I got introduced to The Science of Mind, which is wonderful. If you haven't read it, I recommend it, Ernest Holmes. And I've told you this, but I'm going to say it again because it goes right into the Beatitudes. Okay, well, I don't think so, but you know what? I'll do about anything now to get myself in a better state, both mentally, spiritually, and financially. And so I started affirming, I have five extra dollars this week. Huh. And I kept saying it and visualizing it. And most of you know, I found $5 in a very unlikely place. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, maybe it does work. And I built from there, just like you have or are, and like most people do. And when I found that $5, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I was jumping up and down for joy. I was blessed. I was very blessed. That $5 was more necessary than you can probably imagine. However, blessed are the poor. Happy and joyful are the poor, because I wouldn't be on this show today with John if I hadn't been poor, if I hadn't been outright broke. I would most likely never have learned about the law of attraction, science of mind. And so I was blessed because I was poor, because it brought me to this moment right now. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is blessed. I think being blessed because you're hungry, you need something, you want something, as we have discussed many times on this show, we do this because we want something. Now, God, Spirit, Universe understands that and could care less. God, Spirit, Universe doesn't care why you come around and say, excuse me, Universe, yeah, I really want, okay, have your want. Until we learn to say, I have active faith, and boom, things start happening. You get breadcrumbs towards your manifestations, and you flirt with them, and you bring from the unseen to the seen. So you are blessed if you're in a challenging situation. You are, because it brings you to a deeper understanding of the power that your authentic self has for you, burning within you to be loosed, to be set free, to say, I am a person who always has plenty of money. Or my favorite one from Francis Scovel Shinn, I am a person to whom money comes in happy, expected, and unexpected ways, speedily under grace. Thank you, Spirit. I say that every day. And I get into it, and I'm blessed, I'm happy, I'm like, yes, yes. And it sounds like so much spiritual hokum, but it isn't. It works, ladies and gentlemen. I was so blessed because I was poor, because it brought me to a deeper understanding that it's impossible for me to be poor. It's impossible for me to be broken. It's impossible for me to lay underneath the garbage heap unless I choose to. And once I began to just vaguely, just remotely understand that I am co-creating whatever situation I'm in, then, although it scared the bejabbers out of me, because that means I am also accountable for the mess that I'm in, and that means I'm responsible for the mess I'm in. I don't like that too much at first, but you know what? I kept chipping away at it, and I was so blessed because my poverty in mind, body, spirit, wallet, brought me to some truths that would indeed set me free. Some truths that would indeed bring me to the power that I came into this world with, to co-create that which I desire, to bring from the unseen to the seen. It wouldn't have happened. I'm telling you, I doubt it would have happened. I would have mucked through and I would have made it and figured it out, but not with the joy and the fascination and the curiosity that I have. How does the mind of God work? How does my mind work? How does this happen? Wait a minute. Is this quantum physics? Oh, probably. Do I understand quantum physics? Definitely not. Only a little. And so as I moved through this, poverty stricken in more ways than one, my faith began to increase, my health got better, my outlook, my optimism got better, my faith muscles got stronger. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it was exciting. It was hard. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. I'm not going to lie to you. This is not easy stuff. It's not easy to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I did this. I co-created this. Okay, well, if I co-created this, I can co-create something better now, can't I? Logically speaking, that is true. So when we talk about the Beatitudes, the blessings, the joys, the happiness, the remarkable sense of this is good stuff and I'm making progress, we're not talking about a state of mind that is permanent. We are talking about the things that bring you closer to the God of your understanding, spirit, universe, whatever you believe. All of these Beatitudes say, you are so happy. Please be happy, be blessed, be happy, be joyful, be ecstatic, because these circumstances are temporary and these circumstances are going to bring you to the next level, and then that will bring you to the next level after that, and then that will bring you to the next level after that, and so forth and so on. And that is why it is so exciting to say, yeah, I was so poor in every way, but that brought me to a much better place and a much deeper understanding and a sense of, I've got this, I can do this, I can get through this, and I can co-create the reality I want and need and deserve and desire. And oh boy, it got exciting, and it is to this day, because do I understand this? No, I don't. Not really, but I know it works. So when we say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, what does that mean? It means that your poverty, whether it's material or emotional, mental, spiritual, whatever it is, it's going to bring you to the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to ask you again, where is the kingdom of heaven? That's right. It's within you. It's glowing and just full of life and promise and prospect and a different perspective and different circumstances. That's inside you. And I don't know if you're like I am, but if you are, I have to fall down flat on my face and pick splinters out of the end of my nose before I get these things. But how blessed was I, how happy, joyful, in a state of wonder and bliss was I, that I found science of mind, thanks to people I know, one of whom is John, and said, hey, Hartwell, yeah, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever read that? Have you ever looked into this? I'm like, I don't believe that stuff. Oh, well, you might give it some thought. And I did, and how blessed, happy, joyful, excited, ecstatic am I that I did. It is now a way of life for me. It is now a practice for me. Do I get it? Little. Do I practice it? You darn well. I practice knowing this stuff. I have an accountability and a responsibility to hit the apply button and make my life much better each day, because I have these tools. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So no matter how poor you are in any way, financially, emotionally, spiritually, whatever, you're actually very wealthy, because that's all within you, and you can get to it, and you can use these tools to bring out of nothingness, out of the ethers, the life that you desire. So, blessed are the poor. And blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It points you to the kingdom of heaven, all the tools that you have and you'll learn to have to co-create the reality you desire. This is a blessing. This is ecstatic news. This is exciting. This makes life joyful and interesting. So keep going, ladies and gentlemen, because we've only just started here. The next one is Blessed Are Those Who Mourn, next week's show, because they'll be comforted. You're going to tell me it's good when I'm mourning. We're going to talk about that next week. You're listening to Metaphysical Hors D'oeuvres. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, go to our website, ellenhartwell.com. We'd both love to hear from you. And, John, I'm going to go mute, and I'm going to let you let it rip, tater chip.
All right. Make sure you can hear me before you go. Can you hear me all right, Ellen?
Yes,
trust
I can.
That you
had to come off
mute.
Oh, yes, I can, John. I can hear you
good,
fine.
Good. Oh. Perfect.
Okay.
I was a little nervous by... This is such a great series. I love the Beatitudes. And you don't have to be Christian to understand the metaphysics of this, or let me put it more clearly, to attempt to understand the metaphysics of these. I think this is a separate the men from the boys and the women from the girls place in metaphysical Christianity, at least. It's the place where the rubber hits the road, as they say, in the Jesus teachings. And I think they're acutely metaphysical, and they're difficult unless you really sit with, and Ellen did a great job of sort of unpacking, where these are coming from, because there are 8 or 10, depending on how you look at how you divide them up. But he is the teacher here, the rabbi, the Buddha in the situation, who is Jesus, is inverting the entire process of life itself, almost the structure of how it works. Because you would look at the king or something and go, well, that guy's blessed. Like, and to say, and this whole thing, this whole series of things is people that you usually do not think of as blessed saying, no, you're blessed, and here's why. Here's why. And it doesn't necessarily, this one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't actually fill in the first half with the second. How do you get to the second half? You get it via experience. Blessed are the poor in spirit, boom, 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 for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's like, well, get me there, Jesus, because right now I got $5 in the bank and I feel like crap. And I don't see, doesn't feel like the kingdom of heaven at all. And I want to demonstrate this, because Ellen did a great job of saying how it is easier. And poor in spirit is important, but I just want to look at poor, monetarily poor right now, to start and say, in fact, I do think that the rabbi here, the teacher, is saying it's actually easier to get this done if you come from a place of poverty to start. You certainly don't have to stay there. And I would even argue that the entire life of this avatar, whose name is Jesus, is emblematic, is a demonstration of this beatitude. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is, this person was born in a barn because there was no place else for him. It doesn't matter if you actually believe that story. It's the symbolism of that story that's important. To a person who should not have been pregnant, and in the first place, and second of all, is, you know, and a father, in quotes, a temporal human father, that should have walked away by all rights, should have said, I don't know, like, I'm not marrying you. You've been with another man, clearly. And none of that happened. There's no place for them to stay. And he's born literally in a barn. We call it a manger, and it's taken some sort of meaning on in its in modern life that is not something other than, you know what, a box where they put hay. Like literally, like box. Like he was born in a box in a barn. And because of that poverty, in a way, it's a story, it's a demonstration of, and by the way, this is what came out of that humbleness, that humble place, is this sort of amazing clarity and power. In a weird way, this is, and I want to say this, this first beatitude is, like, look, if you're poor now and you come across this information, and you can be poor in many ways, but I want to talk about money right now for a minute. you come across this information, it is actually easier to get to accessing your kingdom of heaven, to access the kingdom of heaven, than it is if you are wildly wealthy. Does it mean it doesn't work for wildly wealthy people? No, it totally works for them. But to get to the next step, because you can manifest money without manifesting God and spirit. You can manifest. There's a lot of things going on, cogs in the machine happening. But if you want to take the next step, which is the kingdom of heaven, which is the money's working for you, you're not working for the money. That's the simplest way I can put it. You want to take the next step. It's actually easier if you start from poverty. That is a weird thing to say. And it violates a lot of my sort of political instincts, a lot of my other instincts too. But I also want to say this really clearly. These Beatitudes are meant to be taken personally. So I will get controversy on that one. But for our purposes in this metaphysical reading of them, take them personally. They are not edicts on how society should work. They can be, if you want to decide things about what the government should and should not do, et cetera, and what charity should and should not do. But for our purposes, take them personally. These are about you. Blessed are you if you are poor or poor in spirit. You're emotionally bereft. There's things going on. You don't have enough people and you're loving people in your life, all sorts of things. Start there because it will be easier for you to get to the kingdom of heaven. And I will say, without naming names, at least one, the richest man in the world, there, I essentially just said his name, bought a social media company. If you look at that social media company, he's literally, self-evidently, a miserable person. That is an opinion, but it is not a dangerous one. It is, like, it doesn't matter if you start, if you come in, or you have earned $200 billion, it doesn't make you happy. It makes it easier, I'm sure. But it's also harder if the goal of that person I'm thinking of, or anyone who's very wealthy, to go, now, actually, I want to access my soul, the kingdom of heaven. And if you start from poverty, it's much easier, as Ellen said, because let me tell you, that $5 mattered. It mattered, and it was proof. It was the difference between dinner and not dinner, maybe. I don't know. I don't know Ellen's specific in that case, but I know that moment. No, this has to happen now. And suddenly it is like, oh, I can do this because I'm coming from that place. Whereas the person with $200 billion is like, oh, I'd like to be closer to God. I'd like to understand. I'm going to die like everybody else. I'd like some sense of my eternity. Well, you know, why don't you fly in your jet and get a massage in Thailand and come back and, you know, take a hot tub, whatever fabulously rich people do. It's actually easier. I mean, it's easier to avoid the access, the moment of access to the kingdom of heaven. And that's really what I want to say about this. It's actually really important to note that. And it doesn't mean that you should look at the poor person you walk by and say, well, I would feed you, but you should access the kingdom of heaven by praying, treating for food. Because the truth is that may be happening and you might be the demonstration. That is the other thing that the Beatitudes do and why they are so massively, people have a hard time stomaching them, is because it puts you in the position, as long as you are on this earth, of realizing that, in fact, you might be the other person's demonstration, which is why I believe that Jesus and Buddha and anybody else I've ever heard of who is an avatar on this planet always includes charity. You might be the demonstration. You could be the proof that you could be the $5 that Ellen talks about. So show up for that. This is me. I'm sounding very stern right now, but this is really important to me. And I want to also just sort of secondarily for a few minutes address poor in spirit, because some translations don't, you know, I think Matthew says poor in spirit, but I've also seen this written as simply just poor, which we covered, which we can sort of look at. Luke, actually, I'm looking at it right now. Luke just says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, is the translation I'm looking at. And poor in spirit is important because we can be very comfortable, and people, and if you know anything about world history and human history, you know that overwhelmingly there's certainly horrifying poverty that we shouldn't tolerate on this planet right now. But overwhelmingly, you and I, if you're listening to this, if you have enough in your situation is such that you can hear Blog Talk Radio, you probably have chairs and a place to sit and likely have a roof over your head. You're living that is relatively permanent. You're living in a situation that is kingly by early medieval standards. You're living like a king would have lived before. So we live in, if you live in an era where there are antibiotics, you're better off than almost everybody else who's ever lived. And you do, because we're listening in 2023. Having said all that, so you can be poor in spirit without actually being definably poor. And again, that long dark night of the soul, if you hear this message, which I believe truly, I believe is the gospel, you hear this message, you can take that. And I think he unpacks it. I think that the person giving this sermon unpacks it throughout these eight, this list of eight or 10, of everything that should be seen as negative consequences, and turns it on its head and says, actually, these moments are quite real and quite human, and you can access them. Because you may not have experienced actual poverty ever in your whole life. You can go through your whole life and not experience poverty. But you, almost everyone, actually everyone I've ever met, everyone I know of, experiences moments of poverty of spirit, in spirit, emotional devastation, loss, experiencing cruelty that is undeserved, that seemingly comes from nowhere, all sort of mourning, grief. Everybody has those human experiences. We all get the same 24 hours. We all more or less get between, you know, 72 and 105 years. That's what we get. And we all have certain experiences in common. And if you hear the gospel, which is you can interact with the thing that created you and take it at the lowest moment, which is, by the way, I am not suggesting that you ignore your actual feelings. We've discussed this. If you are mourning, keep mourning. But in that moment, to remember who you are, you can turn that poverty of spirit in that moment into something larger. And there is a time gap. Usually, you don't immediately stop grieving, but there will come a time when your grief, truly experienced, not avoided, not embittered, but truly experienced with the consciousness that you are of God, you are of the thing that created you, will come. You will be someone else's demonstration. You will be the person who holds the other person's hand. And that, my friends, and I mean this with all my might, will be the thing that opens another door to another heaven. And it will keep happening. So as we go through these, I just want to say that these are complicated and seemingly difficult and counterintuitive, but the truth is they are door openers. They're saying you've decided to be human in this incarnation, on this planet, at this particular time, at a time when humans are on the planet. And this is the experience you're going to have. And here, let me tell you something. Here, if you remember these things while remembering that you are of God, this will accelerate your process. Buddhism has a version of it, which ends up in enlightenment. This is Jesus more or less saying the same thing. Do these things, and we get to meek or humble in a few weeks, and thirsting for righteousness. You will accelerate your expansion into this heaven and then the heaven after that and the heaven after that. Okay, I love the Beatitudes. I didn't realize I had thought so much about them because I didn't plan almost any of that. But I just think these are so important. And I am a Jesus follower, not a Christian necessarily, but a Jesus follower. And I believe in the metaphysics of these. And I think that they open up the sky, man. They open up the eternity if you practice them. All right, Miss Ellen Hartwell, unmute yourself.
Okay, fabulous.
By golly.
Don't forget who you are. Use these tools and be blessed. Be ecstatic. Be happy because you're going to the next step, and let your lives rip, tater chips.